built on at right angles, threw a long shadow over a path of white and green flagstones, and then across a large circular flowerbed with a sundial in the middle, and Canna indica and giant rhubarb planted round the edge. Some 20 yards away, running precisely parallel to the side wing, was a churchyard wall, entirely covered in small-leaved ivy, and only interrupted by a little white-painted iron door, beyond which the shingle tower of Hohenkremmen Church rose up, its weathercock gleaming gold, since it had only recently been repainted. The main building, the wing, and the churchyard wall formed a horseshoe round a little flower garden, at the open side of which a pond with a jetty and a boat tied up could be seen, and, by the edge, a swing, its seat a horizontal board hanging from two ropes on either side. The posts supporting the crossbeam were already sagging a little. Between the pond and the flowerbed, however, and half concealing the swing, stood a pair of massive old plane trees. The front of the manor house, a terrace with tubs of aloe and a few garden chairs, was also a pleasant place to be and to amuse oneself when it was overcast. On days when the sun was burning down, however, the garden side was infinitely preferable, especially for the lady of the house and her daughter, who on this day were once more sitting in the shade on the flagged path, with a few open windows with Virginia creeper twining round behind them, and beside them a small staircase of 4 stone steps leading up from the garden to the mezzanine of the wing. Both of them, mother and daughter, were busy at work on an altar cloth made up from separate squares. Countless hanks of wool and skeins of silk were scattered over a big table, with a few side plates left over from lunch and a majolica bowl full of lovely big gooseberries. The tapestry needles went in and out, swiftly and precisely. But while the mother kept her eyes fixed on her work, her daughter, who was known as Effie, would put her needle down from time to time to get up and, bending and stretching this way and that, go through the whole series of calisthenic exercises. It was clear to see that she was particularly fond of these movements, which she deliberately exaggerated a little for comic effect. And when she stood there, slowly raising her arms and putting the palms of her hands together high above her head, her mother would look up from her needlework, though always briefly and surreptitiously, because she did not want to show how charming she found her own daughter, a feeling of maternal pride that was entirely justified. Effie was wearing a blue and white striped linen dress, a bit like a smock, that needed its tight bronze leather belt to give it a waist. A wide sailor collar thrown back over her shoulders left her neck free. Everything she did combined high spirits and gracefulness, and her laughing brown eyes revealed a great deal of natural intelligence and much joie de vivre and warm-heartedness. She was called Little Effie, which she had to put up with simply because her beautiful, slim mother was still at least a couple of inches taller. Effie had just stood up once more to do her twists and turns to the left and right, when her mother, looking up from her embroidery again, called out to her, "You really ought to have been a circus artiste, Effie. Always on the trapeze, always flying through the air. I can almost imagine you'd enjoy something like that." "Perhaps, Mama. But if that's the case, whose fault is it? Where do I get it from? It has to be from you. Or do you think I get it from Papa? You see, the very idea makes even you laugh. And then why do you stick me in this pinafore dress, in this boy's smock? Sometimes I think I'm going to be back in short clothes again. And once I'm wearing those, I'll start curtsying like a little girl again. And when the Rathenow Hussars come riding past, I'll ride a cock horse in Colonel Goetz's lap. And why not? He's 3/4 an uncle and only 1/4 a beau. It's your fault. Why don't I get any fine gowns? Why don't you make a lady out of me?"
"Is that what you'd like?"
"No." And with that she dashed over to her mama, flung her arms round her and kissed her.
"Not so wild, Effie. You mustn't get into such a passion. It always makes me uneasy when I see you like that."
Her mother seemed determined to continue to express her worries and fears. But it didn't come to that, for at that very moment 3 young girls came into the garden through the little iron door in the churchyard wall and set off along a gravel path towards the circular flowerbed and sundial. All 3 waved their parasols as a greeting to Effie, then hurried over to Frau von Briest to kiss her hand. She